The Lord spoke one message to me about the year 2017. And he simply said, new beginning. Now, I will tell you, I have felt in my spirit that many have already broken through. But the new beginning that you have moved into, it is going to be accomplished. It's going to be brought to fruitfulness and to fruition in this year. New beginning. And you know, in the Word, we've seen many, many new beginnings. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is the new beginning that the church got when, in the book of Acts, you know, after Calvary's completed work, the ministry of the Lord Jesus was always pointing us to Calvary and then pointing us to this dispensation so that we, the church, would know how to move in the Spirit in this dispensation, to know what our place in the earth is in this dispensation. Because I see and I hear and I watch, and I'm not being judgmental, but I see how many of us move under the old covenant. But you know what? We're on this side of Calvary, children. We are on this side of Calvary. I just hear the Lord say enlargement. I just now heard the Lord say enlargement. I'm telling you. Enlargement. I heard the Lord say enlargement. I'm trying to go on and get in the Word, but I'm telling you, I hear the Lord say it, enlargement, enlargement. I hear the Lord say enlargement, enlargement. Grab hold of it. I hear the Lord say an enlargement, enlargement. Enlargement. I hear the Lord say enlargement. Enlargement. Oh, Father, I thank you for enlargement of this ministry. I thank you for enlargement in people's individual lives. I thank you for enlargement in anointing. I thank you for enlargement in faithfulness and dedication and consecration. I thank you for enlargement, God. I thank you that the spirit of enlargement is released in this house in Jesus' name. Honey, is this your wife? I always see you from so far away, couldn't tell. Honey, the Lord said he is about to enlarge your capacity to love. He is enlarging your capacity to love. He is enlarging your understanding of him. He is enlarging the revelation that you have of him is being enlarged and enlightened. And this year will be a red letter year for you. It will be a red letter year. It'll be a year that you'll mark down in your life and say, wow, God, wow. Oh, God, that was a red letter year. That was a year I have never forgotten. And I'm going to tell you something, honey. It's not going to be because of trouble. It's going to be because of enlargement. Enlargement and enlightenment. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. God, enlarge her understanding of the mighty Holy Ghost. Enlarge her understanding of the completed work of Calvary. Enlarge her prayer life, God. Enlarge her word study. Enlarge her, God. Enlarge her understanding. Enlarge, God, her wisdom. Enlarge yourself in her, God. In Jesus' name. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And so the Lord said, new beginnings. I want to just, let's just pretend we're just having a Bible study. How about that? Because I'm having trouble here. Rabasataya. Join me in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we understand that Jesus has come into the earth and he has grown and now he has moved into his ministry. And the Lord Jesus, I love how wonderful he is. I love how he taught those disciples and he gave us a roadmap. I call it a roadmap. I can't read a real roadmap, but I can read this word and get it. And I have my own personal roadmap right over there in that brown sweater. If I get lost, I don't look at a roadmap. I call him. I don't trust no GPS. It's got me lost numerous times. And I had to call him. And so, you know, I don't even mess with it anymore. But this is the roadmap that I depend on. This is the roadmap of my life. This has been the roadmap of my ministry. And it has served me well. And so the Lord Jesus was teaching these disciples. That's what we are. We are disciples, disciplined beings. And you know, there has to be a discipline in your life. You have to have a discipline. You don't just live any old kind of way and then move in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's not the way it works, children. I mean, you know, we all want it to work that way where we can be sloppy and, you know, just, I can't stand that. That gets on my very, very, very last nerve. You know, it's like I told the church this morning, when the devil's trying to kill my husband, my children were falling apart. I told my one daughter, I said, listen, if you don't straighten up, you're not going to ride with me because you are a hindrance to me. You're hindering me with all this squalling and bawling. You need to either get hold of yourself or you need to go get in your own car. Because I knew the devil was trying to take my baby, my husband. He's my baby. Actually, I'm his baby. He's been taking care of me all these years, and I wasn't about to let him go. And so, I tell you, these kids will come and go. But no. As I told her, I said, you're either going to straighten up and stop this and get a hold of yourself and believe God with me, or you're getting in another car because you're hindering me. And don't do it. And see, we have to learn. Listen, I wanted to squall and bawl and cut up and act up too. My flesh was just like anybody else's flesh. That's my life over there. And them telling me all this junk about he's going to die and all this mess and he can't live. Well, my goodness, I knew better than that, but I had to stay focused. And so Jesus knew that we would come up on situations and circumstances like that. He knew that we would find ourselves in such a condition. And so he was teaching the disciples, and he told them, he said, when you give alms, he said, when you pray, and moreover, when you fast, he said, he didn't say if you pray, he didn't say if you give, he didn't say if you fast, no, he said moreover. That word moreover means over and above and more important than. Over and above and more important than your praying and then your giving is your fasting. You know why? Because all of these principles, giving, praying, and fasting, deal with our flesh. And they bring discipline unto our flesh. And then over in Luke chapter 9, the Bible says, Jesus taught us this. He said, Luke chapter 9 verse 1, then he called his disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, I'm telling you, church, you say, Sister Sandy, what does this have to do with a new beginning? Because I'm telling you, if you need a new beginning, you have to conduct yourself properly when you get it. And the Lord Jesus is talking to us and teaching us how to conduct ourselves. And he said, now listen, I have given you power and authority over all devils. Not some devils, not a few devils, not, you know, a handful. He said over all devils. And let me tell you how the enemy moves us, how he uses tricks to play with our minds. He wants to convince you. He wants to call out big names. Oh, names to intimidate us. Oh, he wants to call out this kind of disease. One of my daughters called me one time and said, Mother, I want you to tell me this, Mother. Have you ever heard of anybody being healed of this disease that the devil tried to put on our little grandson? I thought about it. And I said, well, now that you bring it up, no, I haven't, but we'll be the first. We'll be the first. Because somebody has to be the first. Somebody has to be the first. And you know what? I'm willing to pay the price for my grandbaby to be the first. And you know what? I got it. I got it. Why? Because we weren't intimidated. And God gave my husband a word. God gave my husband a word. And when the enemy was wanting to work against my mind, I would just get right up under his faith. And I would hold on to his faith, to the word that God had given him. And exactly what God said to him is exactly what we have right now. Because we weren't intimidated by a name. And so it's all devils and all diseases. We have authority, we have power and authority over them. Not some of them, over all of them. And so Jesus again is training us of how that we are to conduct ourselves on this side of Calvary. We're not under the old covenant. We're under a new and a better covenant. But I mean, honey, don't kick that old covenant to the curb, because look what they got under it. When they moved in accordance with God's word, look what all happened. See, when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he was moving in the old covenant. But we have a new and a better covenant. And the Lord was pointing us to this day. For us to conduct ourselves in our new beginning as we are supposed to on this side of Calvary. Now join me in Mark chapter 11. Ooh, I love the word. I just do. I love the word. Mark 11, 22 and 23 and 24. The Bible says, have faith in God. In the original, it says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what mountain, whatever mountain it is in your life, this mountain, the thing that you're facing, the thing that's risen up in front of you, and it wants to overpower you, and it wants to overtake you, and it wants to intimidate you, whoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, not in his head, in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, not prayeth, saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Not prayeth, saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's Jesus talking to us. Making us ready for after Calvary, after the church, when the church was birthed and the mighty Holy Ghost was poured out upon the church, teaching us how to conduct ourselves on this side of Calvary. Glory be to God. Mark 11 verse 1, toward the end of that, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. They had seen all that Jesus did. They had seen it and they understood somehow that the reason he moved in the miraculous, the reason was because he spent time with God. I want to tell you something, children. Your public power will never be any greater than your private prayer. Never. If your private prayer is right here, that's how high your public power is going to ever rise to That's as much as you can think. If your private prayer gets on up here, then you can understand that's where your public power is going to get to. When your private prayer moves all the way on up, then you can be confident. Your public power. Honey, you won't have to tell anybody your power. They'll see it by your fruit. They will see it by your fruit. Listen, if you spend time with God privately, you won't have to worry about being puffed up publicly. You won't have to worry about it. You will not have to worry about it. You know, these people, sometimes they're so proud of themselves and they're so full of themselves and, oh, they're so spiritual. Oh, they are so spiritual. I just think, well, honey, pray for me because I'm not there yet. You know, I'm just one of those bare bones people. I'm just one of those get up at between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and sit and pray. When you don't feel anything, sit and pray till you do feel something. And you know what? I'm just that type of girl. I love to feel something. I love to feel it. You know, they say, oh, well, you don't have to. We're not moved by what we feel. Well, honey, maybe you're not, but I'm telling you, I get a little moved when I feel something. And you know what? That's just me. And that's the way God made me. I've just learned that I don't let negative things move me. I wait until I feel the moving of the Holy Ghost. I love to feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something, honey. The Holy Ghost and power. The Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost and fire. It will keep you alive. And hey, it'll keep you looking good while he's at it. Listen, honey, y'all get old and grumpy if you want to, but not me. Not me, not this girl. Join me in John chapter 14. I tell you, the devil wants to wear us out. He wants to wear us out, but no, not me. I'm not going to allow the devil to wear me out. Don't think there's not things that he tries, but I am not going to be worn down. I'm not going to be worn out. I'm not going to be one of those saints that gets old and mad. Angry. Everybody's wrong but me. I can't stand that. I cannot tolerate that. I absolutely will never tolerate that in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in John 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. My Father, and whatsoever you shall ask, and that word ask means demand, whatsoever you shall demand in my name. In my name, whatsoever you shall demand. In other words, we put a demand on the word of the Lord. We demand whatsoever you demand in my name, that will I give to you. That will I do for you. He said that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So if you shall demand anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That you may abide with you, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, capital S, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord had told them, he said, now it is expedient that I go to my Father. He said, I'm doing this for you. It is expedient that I go to the Father. But he said, listen, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without help. Because he knew that the way they knew him right now and the way they had walked with him right now, he was in human form. He was God in human form. with them on their, but see with us. He said, listen, he said to the disciples, he comforted them. He said, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I will not leave you without help. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to pray. And the Father is going to send another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind in another form. He said, now you want me and you want me right here beside you. He said, but now this next new beginning, he said, I'm not going to be with you. I shall be in you. He said, now the world, now they're left out of this because they haven't received me yet. And the world, they have to see it to believe it. But not my children, he said, not my disciples, because you believe it. And then you see it because you believe it into enlightenment. You release faith. And see, children, I get so concerned about all these. Help me, Jesus. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to offend. But you know these intercessors. Now, I love them. I love intercessors, and I thank God for them. But I'm telling you, they're always fighting something. They're always fighting something. If you talk to them, they go, oh, I'm warring. Have you ever heard people say that? Oh, I'm warring. And I'm thinking, well, my. Because really, Pastor Brett, the only fight that you and I will ever have to fight, lest we just decide we want to fight something else, is the good fight of faith. That's it, Pastor Jerry. Because think about this. Think about this. Jesus whipped every devil, didn't he? Now, did he leave one of them that didn't have a whipping? That he didn't? Did he not defeat a one of them? No, he defeated every devil. I'm telling you, Calvary was complete. It was finished. Jesus dropped his head on the hanging on that cross at the very end, and he said, "It is finished." And then, yes, yes. And then he dropped that head and he said, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Every devil was defeated. They didn't know it yet because, you know, hell was having a party. I love that song. They said hell was having a party. I don't know if that's really having a party or not, but you know, that song sings well and it's good to dance to. I'll tell you that. And so they said hell was having a ball. I think it said hell was having a ball. Well, I don't know if they're having a ball or what they were doing, but they were defeated. They didn't know it yet. They didn't know it yet. If they were having one, it didn't last very long. But you know, here Jesus defeated every sickness, every disease. It don't matter what its name is. It don't matter what its name is. It don't matter what devil it is. And so these folks, it's always warring. Oh, I'm warring. Well, you're probably just wearing yourself out for nothing, really. If you want to know the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. You're really just wearing yourself out. Because the only fight that we have to fight is the good fight of faith. And I'm going to tell you something, children. That battle has already been won. Yep, that's about how excited the church is over it. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's why I have to come down here and preach it every year. That's just about how excited we are. But you know what? When you see what I see sitting out here looking at me, and I know how I got it. Honey, I wasn't beating the air. I wasn't in the flesh. I wasn't talking about how bad it was, how pitiful I was. What was I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, my God, my God, my God, heal my husband. I knew he was healed. I knew he was healed. And I knew that this was not unto death, but that the glory of God might be revealed. Because I had a word from God. My spiritual daughter, right there sitting on the front row with her spiritual father. God spoke it to her too. This is not unto death. She said, she called me and she said, Sandy, I pulled off on the side of the road. I was crying my eyes out. I was crying. My heart was broken. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be revealed. That was exactly what God had spoken to me. He confirmed it. And look here. Here he is glorifying Jesus. But it wasn't a fight of my flesh. It wasn't any kind of natural fight. It wasn't me getting down and begging and beseeching and, the only groanings I did was out of the Holy Ghost, was out of my spirit, if the Holy Ghost. But you know what? As I look back, and I've begun to be able to look back a little bit on it now, just a little bit. And I remember when I would think, we were in that death room, you know, for over 2 weeks. And we were back there, and you know, we'd hear other people, you know, carrying on, crying and everything. And I'd just be in there praying in the Holy Ghost, just believing God and releasing, just saying, Lord, Holy Ghost, would you just please pray through me for my precious husband? Now, Father, I don't know what I need to say. I don't know what I need to pray. I don't know that much about the human body. I've never applied myself to learning about all these words that they're giving me. I've applied myself to your word, God. Now, Holy Ghost, would you just please flow through me? And would you just please pray the perfect will of my Father, that whatever it takes to raise my husband up. And you know, as I look back, Pastor, as I look back, and I would remember, and I know you kids think I'm just old and everything. It's not that, but it's what I've sown in my life and sown in my spirit all these years from a young girl. And you know, I would think, I just need to really bear down and just pray. I'd pray for a little bit and I'd just break out in a song. Some of it was an old hymn. Some of it was, you know, one of the newer songs that, you know, I hear sung at the churches that I go to. But you know, I would break out in song and my children harmonized so beautifully and they would just start singing. And if my sister was there, she's got one of those beautiful voices and we would just sing very softly and very quietly. And just, I could just see God moving. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't try to figure out what he was doing. I did not apply myself to all that natural stuff because I knew if I did, I'd get trapped in it. I did not. And I said, the kids were getting on the internet and saying, Mother, oh, Mother, look at that. I looked up this word. I said, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that word. Mother, you need to know what you're fighting. I said, I'm fighting the good fight of faith. Now, I'm telling you, if you want to stay back here with me, I'd tell them, Pastor Brad, you know me. I'd tell them, I said, now listen, I'm telling you, if y'all want to stay back here with me, then you stay with me. And if you're not, and finally, one time I just told my sister, that Kimberly, it's always that Kimberly, just squalling and bawling and over her daddy. You know, she's just so brokenhearted, you know. I said to my sister, take her somewhere and pray for her because I cannot abide this. This is hindering me. Now, y'all see, y'all think I'm hard and everything, but you see, you don't get what I got being soft. Yep, that's about how exciting it is to most people. I'm going to send you another comforter. For what so? Let's see, whatsoever you ask in my name. If you shall ask anything in my name, demand anything in my name, I will do it. And I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another one of the same kind in another form, that you may abide, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Receive because they can't see him. Getting us ready for the book of Acts. And so you all know the story. They moved into yet another new beginning. And there was Calvary and all of that, all that went on at Calvary. And Jesus said, it is finished. And then we move on from Calvary and you all know about the wonderful ascension and all. And then, you know, over in the book of Acts, now we're to the book of Acts. We are on this side of Calvary. And I mean the first thing, the first jack out of the box. Oh, I'm telling you, they begin to pray and they begin to seek God and God pours out the mighty Holy Ghost. Now I had this thought. I had this thought, Pastor Jerry. I just wonder what it would be if somebody would just absolutely give it up to Jesus. I mean, I'm saying totally 100% give it up to Jesus. Whatever it is that we're dealing with, if we would just totally give it up to Jesus and pray in tongues and nothing but tongues. Because you see, what do you think the mighty, powerful Holy Ghost prays when you release yourself to for Him to pray through you? The Bible says He prays according to the will of God, right? That's what the Word says. Well, look here. What is the will of God? The Word of God. So you prayed every word that you know. You prayed every scripture that you know applies. You've been led by your spirit and your prayer life. Now, what would it be if you just give it up and just depend on the Holy Ghost to pray the perfect, Pastor, the perfect will of God over your situation? Absolutely. Just pray in tongues. You know, Brother Paul said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. That's what he said. He said, and then, you know, Brother Jude said, I'm going to tell you something. You know, Jesus had taught us all that every man, mankind, all of us, have been dealt the measure of faith. Right? The measure of faith. But you know what? We have to allow it to be developed. And we have to develop it. You know, it's like you can have 10 different cakes. You can have 10, you can be baking 10 different cakes. And every one of them will have a measure of, say, baking powder in them. But they may be different because the cakes are all cakes, but they're individual, right? Well, that's the way it is with us. Now, Pastor Jerry, your faith in the area of raising up churches and all of that has had to be developed. Now, you were dealt the measure of faith, just like I was dealt the measure of faith. But now, my faith hasn't had to be developed in that arena, but my faith has had to be developed in the arena of deliverance and healing and all different things, because we are the body of Christ. We are many membered, but we have different things. And so we've all been given the measure of faith, but it has to be developed according to the will of God, according to what God's going to use us to do. You see what I'm saying? And so Brother Jude taught us this. He said, now building yourselves up on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you not see why the devil don't want us praying in the Holy Ghost? Do you not see why religious folks don't like you praying in the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you, that religious spirit, he'll get on you. He'll tell you, you don't need to be praying in the Holy Ghost that much. Well, okay, honey, just let your faith sink to the bottom, because that's how you build your faith up. Is that in the Word. That in the Word. Now look at that. The Holy Ghost is going to pray the Word. Now, your mind is not fruitful, but the Holy Ghost is flowing through you praying the Word. But see, your faith understands it. And so that Word that the Holy Ghost is praying, your spirit is continually being built, because your mind is not fruitful, but your spirit is praying the Word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so look here, it's a double-edged sword, because when we put the Word in naturally, then our faith is built. When we hear the Word preached, when they hear the Word on tape, when we hear the Word from these natural ears, our faith is built. But when we pray in the Holy Ghost, and He prays according to the will of God, which is the Word of God, it builds our faith up. It builds our faith. So, you know, the enemy, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'm telling you, you have to keep your faith built. You have to keep your faith built. It's the only fight you'll ever have to fight. Devil wants you to be. Honey, drop that. Start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues. Fight the good fight of faith. You know why it's good? Because just like we sung and ministered tonight, we win. Listen, we have already won, because Jesus won for us at Calvary. Honey, I'm not trying to win. I am a winner. Not because of my good works, but because of that completed work of Calvary. And you know what? In the mornings when I first get up, first thing I do, go put me on a cup of coffee, unless I'm consecrated. And I put me on a cup of coffee, and I go and start lighting my candles, because I like everything to smell good. And I light my candles, and then I get my coffee, and I go sit down in my chair, and I begin to thank God. That's the first thing I do. I enter in with thanksgiving, and you know the first thing I thank Him for is that completed work of Calvary. It is so burned in my spirit, Pastor Jerry. It is so burned in my mind. I'm telling you, God dealt strongly with me about Calvary. And He spoke to me. It was actually about my grandson, my little grandson. He said, if anything else had needed to be done, I would have never sat down. So after Calvary, we understand that Jesus ascended. And now He is seated, and we are seated together with Him. We are positionally seated together with Him in heavenly places at the right hand of the magistrate on high. And hey, all things are under our feet. Not some things, all things. That means it don't matter what His name is. Listen, devil, you're my footstool. And you know what? You have to build it in you. You know, I used to teach when I was just first starting out, you speak the word until this word speaks to you. And you know what? I've been returning to that. That's been coming back up out of my spirit. It's just been coming back. And I think I was somewhere. I think I might have been in Chicago. And I started hearing myself say some of those old things that I used to teach. And just little things that God would give me. I say, you speak the word until the word speaks to you. And that's what we have to do. We speak the word. We pray the word. We say the word until it begins to speak to us. Until that word begins to speak back to us. And so then. Then the book of Acts. And I want you to think about, and I'll just go, just tonight, I'm just going to go. Remember when Peter and John were, I'm getting down here because it's cooler down here. When Peter and John, I know, you're not, but I am, I'm hot. And you know what? If you dance and praise God like you ought to, you'd be hot too. And so, Peter and John, they were on their way, you know, at the hour of prayer. Look here, at the hour of prayer. So you know what? In their new beginning, what were they doing? They were cognizant of the need of prayer. Listen, the other morning I woke up. I think I'd had a late flight in. I can't remember why, but I was tired. I'm usually not tired when I wake up, but I was tired. And I thought, I don't have a heavy day, and I think I'll just lay here till about 6, and then I'll get up. And, you know, I've done that before, and not a thing, and I wouldn't have felt condemned or anything like that. I'm not in bondage to it. I just know that that's what I'm supposed to do. And so, but immediately the Lord spoke to me. And He said, nothing will change until somebody prays. I'm telling you, I had supernatural energy. When God said that to me, He said, nothing will change until somebody prays. And so I just got right on up and I began to pray. And Brother Brett, I am telling you, the Lord met me that morning. I mean, He meets you every morning because He's inside of me and He's right there with me and I'm His house and I'm His temple and, you know, all of that. But I'm telling you, there was such an anointing of prayer that morning. Oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost moved in that prayer that morning. Oh, it was so sweet and it was so powerful. And it was so, such a free, such a liberty that morning in prayer. You know why? Because I just simply obeyed. You know, I love what Mary, the mother of Jesus, said. She told those disciples, she said, now listen, what you hear Him say, you do it quickly. And I'll tell you why you do it quickly. Because if you don't, either your flesh or the devil will talk you out of it. That's why when the Lord said, until someone prays, nothing will change, I jumped up right then. Because if I'd have kept laying there, my flesh would have talked me in. Nothing, you're not in bondage to praying. You just lay here for another couple of hours. And then that is true. And God would not have struck me down dead or anything like that. But I also would have missed a great blessing. And Pastor, no telling what happened that morning that I haven't even seen yet. In the realm of the spirit, just like tonight, when we obeyed God in our worship, no telling what happened, no telling what happened that we don't know about yet, but we will see it. We will see it. And so, old brother Peter and John, you know, they were going to pray at the hour of prayer. And so, on this side, now they're on this side of Calvary. So here's this man. They've set him at the gate. He is winking at me with me preaching. Could you deal with him? I tell you, I can't take him out. I mean, he's a mess. Sitting over there winking at the preacher. Can you believe that? But anyway, so they were on their way to pray. And here's this man that's seated at the gate, begging alms, begging, begging, crippled, begging. Oh my, couldn't move, couldn't go to work, couldn't be a man, you know, like a man likes to be. No, because he had been incapacitated. And of course, he thought he was wanting something to get him by, just maybe a little something for his pocket. That maybe that's all he was wanting. But you know, on this side of Calvary, everything's different. On this side of Calvary, Brother Peter looked down at him and he said, "Listen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he reached down and he lifted him up, and the man began to walk, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Why? Because on this side of Calvary, they operated in faith and in power and authority that has been given to us. But now on this side of Calvary, that's how we operate. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be cast into yonder place," and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, not prayeth, saith. Then I just have to bring us over, and then I promise I'm going to sit down. I'm going to give it back to Pastor Jerry. I'm going to give it back to Pastor Jerry. Brother Paul and Silas, they were in that prison. I'm telling you, it was bad. They were beaten. They were bound. And they were bloody. And there they were in that inner prison. They hadn't done anything wrong. What they had done was right. But you know, the persecution comes. We don't talk about that part of it, but okay, we'll save that for another day. We'll just keep this one going. And on this side of Calvary, what do you think? The Bible says they prayed and they sang praises right there in the pen, right there in the penitentiary, right there in that prison. They prayed and they sang praises. Well, I began to ask the Lord, what kind of prayer would you pray in that situation? And God just reminded me of how Brother Paul said, "I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all." He said, you know, he said, "Listen, when you pray in tongues," he said, "you pray mysteries." And you know, they didn't know how in the world they were going to get out of there. You know they didn't. You know they must have been discouraged. I mean, they were beaten and they were bound and they were bloody. But look here, Pastor Jerry, you know what they did? They allowed that condition, that hopeless condition, to point them back to Calvary. And when they looked back at Calvary, they saw the Lord Jesus beaten, bound, and bloody. Instead of looking at their own blood, at their own condition, they began to pray. What do you think they prayed? I believe they prayed in tongues. I believe they prayed in tongues, Pastor Jerry. I believe God said to me they prayed in tongues. And they prayed their way out. And then that broke through, because see, the perfect prayer will break you through. That, you know, Sister Hannah, she broke over in the Holy Ghost. She prayed the perfect prayer. And in her dispensation broke over in the Holy Ghost. When with stammering lips and another tongue, you know, she began to pray. But look here, church. Look here. That when they prayed that breakthrough prayer, which I believe was tongues, and then they began to praise, the Bible says that the prison was shaken. The foundation of it was shaken. And you know what? When the foundation of something is busted up, no door, no lock, no door will stay locked. It is impossible. You can't get a door with a that's in a bad foundation to stay shut. And the Bible says that it loosed all the prisoners. Not just them, but all. You know, they were probably thinking about their bloody, beaten, bound bodies. You know, but God was thinking of all those prisoners in there. But when they allowed themselves to look back on Calvary and pray the prayers of this side of Calvary. They broke through. And they were all delivered. You need deliverance? I got a word for you. Anybody want a word from God? I got one right here. I got a word for you. Anybody need a word from God? I got one for you. He sent his word, Jesus, to Calvary and healed you right there. Right there. I know the very day you were healed, honey. I know the very day you were healed. I know the very day you were healed. It was that day that Jesus took all those stripes upon his back. He said, by his stripes, you are healed. And he said, he sent his word, Jesus, to Calvary and healed you and delivered you of all your destructions. Anybody need deliverance? You are delivered. You already are. You don't need to be trying to get delivered. You need to receive the deliverance that has already been given, bought, and paid for you. And you need to begin to say, I just thank God I am delivered. I just thank God I am delivered. I just want to thank you, God, that I'm delivered. I just want to thank you that I'm healed. I just want to thank you, God. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I am healed and I am delivered from all of my destructions. And by faith, I receive it into my life. In Jesus' name.